From the backstretch at Saratoga, this is Loose on the Lead with Steve Bick and Seth Merrill. Loose on the Lead is sponsored by...
Good morning. Welcome to Loose on the Lead on this Sunday morning, the day after the Hall of Fame Coaching Club American Oaks up here in Saratoga, the day after the Haskell and multiple other stakes down at Monmouth. Usually live on the set with me, Steve Bick, but today he's on the shore down in Jersey. He was at the Haskell for at Monmouth for the Haskell and the other stakes yesterday. Steve, good morning.
Seth, good morning. Right from Long Branch, looking at the ocean.
That's what we like to hear. And at the top of the show, I have to tip my hat and give you congratulations and alert the audience. You are the winner of the Bill Handel Memorial Award for your coverage of the Haskell card last year. And so congratulations on the award.
I appreciate it. It really meant a lot. Bill Handelman was a phenomenal horse rider who died very young, too. And Handelman was an institution down here and in press boxes at the Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup. He was with the Asbury Park Press, and he's a guy that managed to, you know, keep Monmouth and racing on the front page of the whole paper, not just the sports section. And Bill Handelman, closely associated with Monmouth, and it's one of my favorite places. When I lived down here in Riel years ago, it was the first piece that I could attend regularly. And coming down here, people have heard me talk about this before. We on Haskell, recap Seth, or you know, a lot of times when the Haskell was on a Sunday, we would preview it together. Monmouth is a magical place, and anybody that's not been, you got to make an attempt. And especially, you know, for those that are going to miss Saratoga this summer, you can go to Monmouth. It's not big crowds, not as much as they were hoping. They're hoping for 15,000 a day. And the state is kind of holding it down to about 3,000, 3,500. But still, if you want a summer experience this season, Monmouth is the place for you. And I just love coming down here.
We'll talk a little bit about the day yesterday and the crowd, because you sent some photos. I think the guys can pop those up. You and the lovely Tina, the Mrs. Bick, down for the day. But I also noted, you know, some pictures of the atmosphere and whatnot, so talk about that. But I also noticed, hey, the Beau Brummel of the racetrack, as Vic Zast labeled you years ago. You were kind of casual yesterday.
I discussed it with Tina before we headed over to the track. I said, you know, I said, the jacket and pants, and I just thought, this is stupid. First of all, it was just an idyllic day, you know, high 80s and a little bit of a shore breeze, so it was really comfortable. But I thought, you know what, if people are going to see me in a short sleeve shirt, you know, linen slacks and Jeevas, today's the day. So yeah, we went casual, and it was the right choice. You know, honestly, one of the things I thought to myself was that even with that smattering of people, and there's that picture of the beautiful grandstand with the banners hanging down, and a couple of pictures there around the paddock, the main speed, and on the track apron, I'm not sure that the Saratoga scenario on a big day where nobody could really come, I mean, we're going to have some owners. But this was really bittersweet, because this could have been the day when there's simply 55,000 in that building, and it's a big property. Monmouth spreads people out, and it's principally, and it's not Belmont, but people spread out, and when the place is busy on Haskell Day, it's great. It was nice that there were people there that got to enjoy it, and they had a great business day. I mean, frankly, for them to break the record that they did on Haskell Day, you know, they were going up against the American Bowl cards, and they have to be thrilled with the 19 million that they did. And it was a fabulous card, and the racing was spectacular. So, in a lot of ways, it couldn't have been better unless there had been a full complement of 50,000.
Nice. And, you know, as you say, fans are allowed down there, limited basis, but it was nice to see that on their big day, some of the fans did get to get in and enjoy the action. And let's talk a little bit about some of the action. Let's go right to the Haskell and kind of work our way from there. The Haskell yesterday, obviously authentic for Bob Baffert, was going to attract a lot of attention. He did as the 3-5 favorite. But as we watched them come down the stretch in the Haskell, New York traffic gave him all he could ask for. The chart margin here winds up to be a nose, but Authentic and Mike Smith do get it done. New York traffic second, number one. Dr. Post runs third in here. Talk a little bit about the performance from the Baffert horse and the Haskell.
Well, Baffert wins the Haskell for, what, I don't know, 10th time? I don't know. Keep track. This horse doesn't want to go a step past 9 furlongs. I see some of the people involved, you know, talking about solid derby. You want to be thinking, you know, Alan Jerkins or Pate Miles. This is not a mile and a quarter horse, at least based on what we saw. He is lightly race built. And, you know, Mike Smith talked about the kind of a little bit of greenness down the stretch when he hit him left-handed. He may have been reacting to some things and maybe it's some greenness, but boy, it was all Smith could do to kind of gather him up and will him to the wire. And New York traffic, you know, seemed like he was pretty much done, you know, between the 8th and the 16th, and then his Authentic was either losing focus or just simply, you know, running out of pedigree.
Nope. Did we lose Steve? I think we lost Steve there. So we will attempt to reconnect. I was just checking. It sounded like there was something back in my ear, but it has disappeared. So we will try to reconnect with Steve again down on the shore after spending the day down at Monmouth for Haskell Day. And as he said, there are limited fans down there, but nice to know that some fans were able to enjoy the day. I'm being told, Steve, you back?
Yeah, I guess. And,
yeah, we lost you for a second there. But continue. Authentic. You say won't go a step beyond a mile and an eighth, but at this point, don't they have to consider the Derby? I mean, you have a 3-year-old, you know, he's sitting up near the top of the class at this point anyway.
Well, to me, he's not, you know, I honor AP, because the law and art collector, I think they're all better Derby prospects. I suppose they will. I mean, why would you at this point after this win? But I wouldn't be running, you know, today's got the Derby future wager. I wouldn't be selling the silver to bet on them. There were more questions. There's more questions about him after this race than before. But a lot of people, Jay Thurman has said it for months, that he didn't think this was a horse that wanted, you know, much past the mile and an eighth. So we'll see.
Let's pop over to the Molly pitcher, and this one's interesting because a little bit later on we'll be joined by Riley Mott, the assistant to trainer Bill Mott. Of course, he won yesterday's Coaching Club American Oaks here. But yesterday's Molly pitcher, Horologist, he wins with that one, the number 11 horse, chart margin of a couple of lengths, mutual of $9 and change. Our Super Freak runs second. Royal Flag runs third. But Jersey Joe Bravo and Horologist getting it done for Bill Mott on, down on the shore in the Molly pitcher. What were your thoughts?
First of all, I checked with Scott Blasi, and she's a dually. I know people were worried that she's a dually. Something might have gone wrong. This morning, everything appears to be okay with her. So I want to slip that in, first of all. A Horologist story is kind of nice. And add to John Mazza, who, of course, passed away a couple of months ago, an institution down here in New Jersey racing. And this is a filly that comes back home and only reinforces the whole concept of you know, horse for course. And it's really quite remarkable, actually. He comes home and on paper, she was about third or fourth best coming into this. So she loves that race track, and this is a tremendous week for her. And you mentioned the Illinois. Sharif DeVoe has now finished second in, I think, three of the last four graded stakes that she has competed in, going back to Churchill and their debate. And Cherie is, you know, really kind of very quietly humming along nicely. So well done to Sharif DeVoe.
Yeah, she kind of, last couple of months, she's been notable at the various venues she's been racing at. All right, let's move a little earlier on the card. Another Grade 1 event, the United Nations. We'll take a look at the stretch run here. Jersey Joe does it again. A number 5 Aquaphobia for Mike Maker. Mutual of $23.40. Perrette, number 9, runs second at 10-1. Corelli runs third at 6-1. The favorite, Arklow, at 6-5, winds up a little bit of a disappointing fourth in here. Your thoughts on Aquaphobia in the United Nations?
Well, I got to say, I mean, for those that are involved in the contest for running with the NCRA, the Beat Dick contest, I made Parade my choice, and we had him in the pillar at 1, and so I went right back to him. He ran a courageous race here and really did all the heavy lifting. Looked at the horses that tried to, more or less that were chasing, and did Odiosis ended at the bottom of the chart, etc. The Aquaphobia, I don't know what to say about Mike Maker doing this over and over and over again with older horses that use towards these turf marathons. It's stunning. It's amazing. And if you have one thing to do with a turf horse, does it with their horses, too. It's been going on years now. I included Aquaphobia, but, I thought Durant was the right horse. Standard deviation was a huge disappointment in here. The board actually was a little bit of a story because Corelli took money and Current was ice cold. I didn't get it on the board. Ends up at over 9-1. And it was kind of shocking, but I didn't expect them to be completely ignored in the betting. Paradise Farms and Hooties and the group of people that the trust Michael May has done this successfully with high price claims and private purchases and Mike Baker, who was there by the way, was at Monmouth yesterday, and then I talked to Chuck Burns after the race. Chuck was hard sick for Perrette to get caught like that. But Joe Bravo had really a nice ride, letting the team kind of unfold, and then then lurching forward at just the right time. And that story actually was the same earlier in the matchmaker. Same kind of slick effort in there by Vargas. And we'll talk about that in a minute, but I really was a little, I bet Perrette pretty seriously and kind of keyed a lot of things through. It was a upbeat on that front. But today, by the way, in the Lake Placid, that'll be our Beat Pick contest race today, npra.com/beatpick, and it goes through the summer, get qualified once, and you win the championship at the end of the summer for a seat to Vegas. So, you're eligible.
I was going to say, can I play? I may jump in. I think I was playing last year. That's right. I'm in.
Nice.
All right, let's move on to the Monmouth Cup. A little bit earlier on the card, the winner is going to be Global Campaign. Part of another part of the nice day for Windstar. This one trained by Stanley Huff. Global Campaign, the number 1 horse here. Math Wizard, the number 5, runs second, and Bal Harbour runs third. But it was Global Campaign as the favorite. Kind of a lukewarm favorite, though. Paid $7. Your thoughts on the Monmouth Cup and Global Campaign?
Well, I sent you the picture right before post-time. As always, we're out on the track. I sent the picture of crazy, enigmatic Odin Spring. And he was giving Daniel Centeno so much trouble. Throwing his head and sort of fucking him. This horse is the most crazy storyline. I think he was in the hit this goal. They put them in the same camp. But he gets scratched at the gate, and that really changed the complexion of the race, obviously, because he would have been part of the gate. Instead, Global Campaign, who got fantasy football. I mean, at one point, he was like 6-5, and he didn't plan to see. But only in the betting, he was even money. Nick Cameron and I were texting back and forth. And sure enough, they knew, I guess, as Andy likes to say. Vargas kind of built the campaign around, and when it looked like they were kind of holding him, he had a little upside. He got headed. And came back. Nice performance, and you know, certainly always happy when Stanley Huff does well. And, It's always fun to call Stanley on Monday.
All right, let's finally move on to the matchmaker. You mentioned it a little bit earlier, Grade 3 event. They were going a mile and an eighth on the grass, and the winner here will be Nay Lady Nay, the number 6 horse. It's Chad Brown, Paco Lopez on board. Chart margin a half a length as the 2-1 favorite. Beautiful Lover second, Field Glorious runs third, but Nay Lady Nay, nice closing effort in the stretch to get it done in the matchmaker. Oh, I think we may have lost Steve again. Actually, we can just go with the replay here, and then I'll jump into the Saratoga Stakes races because it's going to time out fine. So we're good. We will bid adieu to Mr. Bick rather than try to connect again because we were having some phone issues. So, again, thanks to Steve Bick. And congratulations to Steve again for winning the Bill Handelman Memorial Award for his coverage of the Haskell last year. But he was down yesterday. And again, nice that they had some fans, at least some fans, allowed on the track down there on a, you know, their very big day. So nice day down at Monmouth for yesterday's Haskell. Let's go now to replays of the two stakes races here at Saratoga, because we talked about it a little bit earlier on the handicappers report. This performance from Decorated Invader yesterday in the Hall of Fame. Boy, this is just a nice horse, because Got Smokin' was clearly the speed. And you have speed in a scratch-reduced field of 5. That horse becomes very dangerous. And at one point on the chart, Get Smokin' is 7 lengths out in front. So now Decorated Invader, the number 7, has to reel him in, and he does. Subsequently, on the outside, Domestic Spending looks to be making a move and have some real momentum. And you think, uh-oh, maybe get run down here. But just about the point where you think that, Decorated Invader kind of kicks in there, and boy, just a nice performance from Decorated Invader. Again, a 3-year-old on the turf in this subdivision that I like quite a bit, and he is clearly the leader in that subdivision at this point. I mean, a 3-year-old's on the turf, he is the one, and he's had a phenomenal career overall, but a very good season this year, certainly, with the win to kick things off in the Cutler Bay, an ungraded stake down at Gulfstream. That was a nice come-from-behind victory. It was a little closer to the pace last time in the Pennine Ridge down at Belmont, the last time before yesterday, Grade 2 event, and won that pretty easily, and now comes back in the Grade 2 Hall of Fame, and again, puts in a nice little chart margin there of a length and a quarter. I did not see the buyer for Decorated Invader, but you would have to think it'll be legit, and just, again, for 3-year-old turfers, he's the one right now, so it'll be fun to watch him as the year continues. All right, let's also take a look at yesterday's Coaching Club American Oaks. We'll take a look at it in a little bit as well with Riley Mott. And again, he'll join us in a few, the assistant to his dad, trainer Bill Mott. But they won yesterday's Coaching Club American Oaks with Paris Lights. I like Paris Lights. I mean, Toneless Shape was going to take a lot of action, deservedly so, but I thought Paris Lights, being lightly raced, may still have some upside potential. So I put that one on top. And boy, it is a ding-dong battle down the stretch for Paris Lights with Crystal Ball. And again, Crystal Ball came in from the West Coast for Bob Baffert. But as you can see, Cap's different, but the Silks are the same. Both Windstar horses. So it was a Windstar battle down the lane here. On the inside is Crystal Ball. On the outside is Paris Lights. and she just pulls away the chart margin at the end ahead, but she would not be beaten. I mean, the last, 75 yards or so, she had that head in front and just steadily kept it there, keeping Crystal Ball at bay. Antoinette ran third. Tonalist Shape runs fourth. A little bit of a disappointing fourth as the 6-5 favorite, only the second blemish on her career. But Paris Lights, that was some good-looking performance to get it done in the coaching club, American Oaks. A couple of minutes from now, we're going to have some comments after the race from Bill Mott, just outside the winner's circle, who says, that, as you would expect, they're going to take a look at the Alabama for Paris Lights. But a nice performance, both stakes races, nice performances in different fashions. Decorated Invader, I thought, had to chase that early pace, got the lead. Somebody came late. It was a nice performance that had a little bit of an open length kind of a victory at the end, whereas Paris Lights had to kind of dig in, ding-dong battle, and as I say, just a never-say-get-beaten performance down the lane to get it done. And, again, very lightly raced. That was only her fourth career start, first start in Stakes Company. She steps into Stakes Company in grade one fashion. So, as I say, we'll talk a little bit later with Riley Mott about that one as well. All right, after yesterday, the Kentucky Derby leaderboard has been updated. Tis the Law still, as far as the points list, Tis the Law still on top with 272 points, but Authentic yesterday moved into the second spot with 200 points. New York Traffic moves into the fourth spot with 110. Honor AP has 120 in the third spot. Art Collector fifth. King Guillermo 6. Dr. Post yesterday moved into the 7th spot with 80 points. And these are notable because you would think that these top 10 horses have enough points to get in. They're good to go. Some other horses a little further down will still be looking for the points races that are remaining. Ete Indian is 8th. Modernist 9th. Mischievous Alex is 10th with 50 points. Country Grammar 11th with 50 points. That one's raced the other day. And again, 50 points, probably good enough. So that one's raced the other day was notable as well. And currently, I'm just looking to see what the points races are that are remaining. So it's really a fairly limited amount of points races. Yesterday's Haskell awarded 100 points to the winner, Authentic. And we have one more 100-point race left, 100 points to the winner. That's going to be the Travers. Del Mar has the Shared Belief coming up on August 1st. That's worth 50 points to the winner. Then the Travers on August 8th. That's worth 100 points. The Ellis Park Derby. I think that'll get a nice field of maybe some, we'll have the first stringers, I would think, up here for the Travers. You may get some kind of second stringers and some horses who say, man, I'm going to take a shot for that 50 points. Go to Ellis on August 9th, day after the Travers. And then the Pegasus down at Monmouth offers 20 points. That's one that you just have to see how it plays out. There may be a horse that's kind of on the bubble, and that 20 points would make a difference. But 20 points is not, it's not enough to get somebody in if they're down in the, territory where they really need something. But as I say, 20 points, and it's August 15th, and there's a horse out there, and the connections are saying, you know what, that 20 points gets us in. They may take a shot. But for the most part, there are three races left, the Shared Belief at Del Mar, the Travers, and the Ellis Park Derby that will play into Derby points, definitely getting horses high enough on the list to plug them into the field. So, keep our eyes open for those. All right, I'm going to head to the break now. But as promised, as we go to the break, yesterday outside the winner's circle, trainer Bill Mott was commenting about Paris Lights and the win in the coaching club American Oaks. Also talked a little bit about how strange it is up here this year with no fans. He had a funny comment there. And a little bit more, again, yesterday just outside the winner's circle with trainer Bill Mott. We'll go to that break, and we will be joined by Bill's assistant, his son, Riley Mott. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Fought hard. I mean, they both fought hard, but the other filly, the filly that finished second, really, she dug in, and, we were the best, Our filly was the best one today, and I was very proud of her.
What about your confidence in her jumping from the allowance to the grade one?
Well, I think the fact that we had another allowance race in her at Churchill, she broke her maiden, and then we were able to get another allowance race in her for experience and build on that experience a little bit and on her confidence level, and it paid off, and here we are today.
You've won a lot of races up here, but probably none quite like this one before. What's it like to win a race at an empty Saratoga?
It's one of the guards at the gate a couple days ago explained it to me. We were looking around and it was kind of, very quiet, and we were talking about how it felt to be here. He said it's like somebody giving you a great big plate of tofu. and I think that's probably the best way to explain it. But we're glad to be here and we're glad to have that plate of tofu. But the main thing is the horses and bringing them along. And I mean, being able to run, I think is something that all the horsemen are grateful for, because we don't want to have to shut down our entire operation. So the fact that we're here and we're in business, I think we're very happy about that.
Would the Alabama be something you look at now?
I would think so, sure. I don't see any reason we wouldn't make that as a major potential goal.
How good do you think this filly can become?
Well, I don't know. I mean, she's won her last three, and she didn't draw away by 10 today or anything. I mean, you're not going to call her a ruffian just yet, but I'd say she's a pretty, accomplished filly for the lack of seasoning that she's got.
What do you get? What does she get out of telling this one that she has to fight for it?
Well, I mean, that just it what she gets is gains our confidence that she's got, she's got some grit and she's got some quality. Well, the odd thing about it is they're both wearing the same colors for the same stable, and I said, well, wouldn't that be cute if we got beat by by one of the stable mates, but possibly set it up for somebody from behind, but it didn't work out that way. And she was, they looked like they were the best two in the race today.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Stone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
But here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Paul Brown. These two arch rivals head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Welcome back to Loose on the Lead on this Sunday morning, live from Saratoga, the day after the Coaching Club American Oaks. And thought we'd reach out to the connections of the winner, Paris Lights. We'll talk about that in a few. But assistant to trainer Bill Mott, his son Riley Mott. Riley, good morning.
Thanks for having me on.
Happy to have you on. And talk a little Coaching Club American Oaks in a few. And we've got some other horses that we may show up here as the meet goes along. So I thought we'd hit on those as well. But before we do that, just wanted to talk a little bit about everybody the last month or so I've had on. I've talked a little bit about the shutdown period and how it affected the operation and whatnot. And just as I was reading last night, you kind of got caught up right at the beginning of it. Weren't you overseas with Tacitus kind of when this all fell down a little bit?
Yes, we started in Saudi Arabia in February. after that race, went to Dubai in March, spent almost the whole month there. A week away from the race, they said they're nixing the race card on World Cup night, and they told us we had 48 hours to get out of the country. So it was a bit of a scramble. We knew, you know, everything was going on, you know, internationally with COVID and everything like that. But until they canceled the World Cup and you were sort of under the gun to get home, yeah, it didn't really hit you until that point.
Yeah, it was a crazy situation, and being overseas just kind of added to that. But then once you got back here, fill us in a little bit about how the situation maybe affected you. I'm assuming you were probably down in Florida, which, you know, luckily for the racing industry, they kind of kept going very well. Mm-hmm. Gulfstream, Tampa, Oaklawn, Will Rogers, Foner, but Gulfstream was one of the places that kept going. So I'm assuming you were still kind of chugging away, but how were things a little bit different during the period?
Yeah, I mean, we're extremely lucky, you know, on our side of the industry to, you know, wake up every morning and go take care of the horses and still earn a paycheck. And, you know, we were pretty much secluded at Payson Park from, you know, the rest of the industry and, you know, other, you know, the other, you know, people in the public. And it's sort of out by itself, you know, 20 minutes away from everything. And, you know, it was a good place to be for us, and the training was great. It didn't get too hot down there in May. So for us, it could have been worse, but, you know, we know there's certainly a lot of other people that didn't have it as well as we had.
Talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts now. We just watched the replay a few minutes ago, a horologist and the Molly pitcher. And talk a little bit about shipping. We had George Weaver in last Sunday, and he was saying, you know, with the rules and restrictions, a lot of the places you're just kind of shipping to a trainer you know at another place, and they'll saddle up and take care of the horse if you don't have connections already down there. But how is the shipping working out for you guys?
Well, I mean, in regards to yesterday going to Monmouth, it was quite easy for us. I have a good friend who's assistant to Jonathan Thomas, who is based there at Monmouth, and we just shipped right into his barn, and they ran the horse for us. So, you know, it was pretty simple on our end. But, you know, a lot of people are not going, you know, due to the shipping restrictions, and a lot of people aren't coming to New York for the same reasons. So, you know, it's, you know, a little different this year, but, you know, we're making do, and we're, you know, we're just thankful that Monmouth and Naira and everyone, they're, you know, working so hard behind the scenes to have race meets.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the win by Horologist yesterday.
It was great. You know, we got the filly a month and a half ago or 2 months ago from California, and she was slightly off form, might not have really loved the track out there. So the ownership group wanted to bring her east, particularly for Monmouth Park, who, you know, she had never lost there.
And, yeah, 5 for 5 now.
Yeah, that's maybe they'll name a race after one day, who knows. But, the owners really wanted to point for the Molly pitcher, and the filly was doing great going into it, and you know, Joe Bravo worked out a great trip from the 11 hole, and she won with a very good number. So you know, that was, you know, very nice to see.
Yeah, good day all around yesterday. And let's move over to Coaching Club American Oaks here at Saratoga. We'll pick them coming right out of the gate. Paris Light's the number 6 horse, and really it was a duel most of the trip with stablemate, as it were, 2 Windstar horses, the Bob Baffert Crystal Ball number 5, and then when they get in the lane, it is a real duel. Your dad also, Antoinette, finished 3rd in here, the number 2 horse. Toneless Shape, the favorite, winds up 4th. But talk a little bit about the performance from Paris Lights. Given that she's so lightly raced, steps up in her 4th career start, this is a Grade 1 event. And as I say, you had to come out of this feeling like you've got a special horse, because 4th career start, Grade 1 event, and this is a gutsy effort. When they get into the lane and it becomes a ding-dong battle, she says, I'm not going to lose.
Sure, and, you know, it's funny, in the last week of April, she was an unraced maiden, and now, mid-July, she's a Grade 1 winner at Saratoga. So it's amazing, and, you know, we've always thought a lot of her. We had to stop on her about this time last year as a 2-year-old, but prior to her vacation, we really thought a lot of her. You know, she was working quite well. Just her whole demeanor really exuded class. So we knew she was a bit different. And to have her come back at Payson with us down in Florida and do as well as she did leading up to her first career starts was nice to see. And, I mean, this, you know, I guess by winning, you know, in Maiden Allowance Company and you know, Other Than Company by open lengths is one thing, but to, you know, gut it out for 3/8 of a mile with, you know, some quality horses is another thing. So it's, you know, it was quite impressive on her part, and hopefully we can build on that.
And as I said, they come down the lane here, and it is a ding-dong battle, which, you know, you just love to see this from a horse, where she gets to the point where she says, yeah, Nate, you're not going by, forget it. And so your father said after the race, kind of thinking about the Alabama, obviously coming out of the coaching club American Oaks, which would be incredible in, you know, her fifth career start to step up to that kind of a situation. But have you seen her this morning? How'd she come out of the race?
I did not see her this morning. I'm based on the harness track with 20 head of horses there, so I'll see her probably after this interview, but haven't heard any negative reports yet, and she's taken all of her races quite well, so, you know, hopefully she comes out well and we can push on. And the Alabama is obviously, you know, one of the most prestigious races in the country, and it's one we always would love to point to if we have a prospect.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting for us, and of course the ownership group, you know, it's a big, you know, partnership that Windstar put together, and you know, to have those two fillies come down to the wire, it's a thrilling for them, and hopefully, you know, they can meet again one day.
Yeah, nice Windstar exact in there, but it was Paris Lights on top. Tyler Gaffney-Owen on board, gave the horse a nice ride, and I think he's going to have a fun meet up here.
Sure, I mean, Tyler's great for such a young kid. He's got a lot of experience in top races, and he looks good on a horse, and he's a strong finisher, and certainly fits our filly well. He's put her in, you know, good position, you know, all 4 times he's ridden her, so you know, he's obviously got a bright future, and he's already had a fantastic career.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I said at the beginning of the meet, he'd be one to watch off the great Kentucky he had to Churchill and Keeneland, and he starts it off with a grade one victory in the coaching club American Oaks. As I said at the beginning, wanted to touch on a couple other runners, because they may have some Saratoga races in the future, and one of those is Frank's Roquette. I want to go back to July 4th, the victory ride. We're going to watch Frank's Roquette, the number one horse, getting it done. Chart margin ahead as the chalky favorite. $2.90 was the mutual. Gets it done by the chart margin of ahead after having led all the way around under John Velasquez. This is a nice 3-year-old filly. Now 4 wins, 4 seconds in 8 career starts. And I'm guessing, talk a little bit about this race, how she came out of it, but I'm guessing the test may be in the future for her.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, it was obviously a gutty performance. I mean, she had to give everything she had. And so, you know, you don't want to do too much with her too soon after the race. So, you know, she did bounce back well. And, you know, the test is obviously the goal. 7/8, you know, she's run well going a mile, well going 7/8. So it should be within her scope. She's, I would say, you know, 6 furlongs is probably a little more preferable than 7/8, but she's definitely earned a shot in that race coming up. And, you know, there's something to be said about being talented, but being as consistent as she's been, you know, and never been out of the exact, that says a lot about her. You know.
I will say that is a tough division this year, the 3-year-old filly sprinters.
Sure. I mean, you know, she ran a bang-up race at Oaklawn, lost to a really nice Wesley Ward filly in Kamari.
Yeah.
Then finished 2nd at Ascot, so that form is held up. You know, there's definitely some other players in the division, so it should be a fun rest of the year, hopefully.
Yeah, you win a race like the test, though. That's a, you know, another grade one on the Saratoga calendar. That looks pretty good on the resume. Speaking of good on the resume and potential Saratoga races, wanted to also look from July 4th at Tacitus, getting it done in the Suburban. Tacitus will be the number one horse here under John Velasquez. This was a nice win for this one. Moretti 2nd, Persimony runs 3rd, but a nice win for Tacitus. As you say, a little bit earlier this year, this one was overseas, but came back and got it done here in the Suburban. And so I would think something is on the agenda for up here at Saratoga.
Sure. I mean, you have the major grade ones for, you know, older horses going long here. And, you know, he came out of the race great. He actually worked this morning over on Oklahoma, which I wasn't there for, but, you know, the horse looks great after coming out of this race, and he came up, you know, from Belmont a week or so ago, and to see him, you know, put in a performance like that, he's never...
Yeah, I was going to say, chart margin of almost 9 lengths, were you expecting that?
Not necessarily. I mean, I know it wasn't probably the strongest field he's faced, but the way he did it, you know, the way he, Johnny looked loaded, turning for home, he's never quite run like that. I mean, he's more workmanlike, and he doesn't really have that flash of brilliance, but still having, you know, a lot of quality. So that was great to see, and hopefully, you know, it can lead to him performing well going forward.
Yeah, certainly going to, again, look for him up here. Another one you and I were talking before we went on the air, and I said, I don't know. Is she up here? Is she down at Churchill? But Harvey's little Goyle is up here, and so give us a little update on her. We're going to watch The Regret from June 27th. Harvey's little Goyle will be the number 10 horse in here. 11-1, but guts it out down the lane to win by a head. This was a nice performance in a field of 13, which makes it even more special. And she's kind of turf, dirt. You can go either direction with her. What you said she's up here. What's up next for Harvey's little Goyle?
Well, they have the big three-year-old turf filly race coming up.
Saratoga Oaks.
And that's certainly what we're pointing for right now. The number from The Regret came back really strong. Obviously, a pretty nice performance. And, you know, Graham's filly, who was second, was coming off a nice race. You know, Harvey, we've always thought quite a bit of her as well. You know, she obviously won a couple races on the dirt quite impressively. She works good on the dirt. You know, she's worked good on the grass, and that's what sort of prompted us to run in The Regret, because there wasn't really much going long for three-year-olds fillies on the dirt at that time. So, you know, while we're not married to staying on the turf with her, I believe that's the next logical spot. But certainly if there were ever a nice dirt race, you know, coming up, we wouldn't be afraid to put it in the mix.
It's always nice to have a horse like this where you have those kind of options.
Makes our job pretty easy, that's for sure.
You've mentioned a couple of times the figures. Which numbers do you guys look at?
I look at a lot of thorough manager numbers. And, you know, I when I first got into racing, I just started learning everything I could about the racing form. So naturally, like, the buyer figures I would look at, but between those two types of figures, I think they're pretty helpful and handy when you're handicapping and judging a horse. You can't live and die by figures, that's for sure. You know, there's a lot that can't be read on paper, but it's certainly a useful tool.
Yeah, and as with your father being on the training side and you being the assistant trainer, do you guys look at, like, when a horse fires a big number, is it kind of, maybe we need a little more time before this one? You factor that in?
Not necessarily. I mean, if it's a really gutty effort, like we watched the replay of Frank's Rockhead, yeah. I mean, you really have to, you know, try to keep weight on them, and you really don't want to squeeze the lemon dry, so to speak. And, you know, a lot of people are big on, you know, running too fast. I know Bobby Frankel used to, you know, get upset if, you know, a horse would run too fast. And, you know, there could be something to be said about the bounce. But we just sort of, you know, watch the horse and you know, judge the tangibles of like, how, you know, they came out of it. And so, you know, there is something to be said about it, but, you know, we just, you know, don't read into it.
Sure. You mentioned you're across the street at the harness track. People may not realize, but every season there's a number of thoroughbred trainers and horses right across the street at the harness track. We're here just in front of Clare Court, and so we see a lot of those horses come over. Talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts of being over on the harness side in the barns over there and what that's like.
Well, it's great. We've been going there for probably over 10 years. Todd Pletcher has a large stable over there, Chad Brown, us. This year it's not quite as full over there as in years past, sort of like how it is over here on the Naira side. But, you know, it allows us to keep more horses in Saratoga during the race meet. And we've had a lot of success running out of that barn. So it's been, you know, useful for our operation.
Yeah, as I say, a lot of people may not realize that the harness track is used like that, unless you come in the morning and get stopped by the traffic for the horses walking over. And as I say, Clare Court is right behind us. You guys utilize Clare Court?
No, generally no. We'll stick to the main track. And when we, you know, work on the turf, we'll walk over to Oklahoma. But there are many trainers who use Clare Court. I know Linda Rice uses it quite a bit. Al Stahl, I see out here.
Yeah, a lot of trainers say it's just mentally, it's a little bit different for the horse.
Sure, I mean, you know, for the odd horse that's, you know, tough, maybe out on the main track, you bring them out here and it lets them down a little bit. It doesn't work for every one of them, but certainly a special case, it could be useful.
Talk about, have you gotten feedback from some of the riders or just personal feedback? The track was resurfaces or the main track. And from what I've heard, there have been positive reviews. What are your feedback?
So far, I have nothing negative to say. I mean, the times working horses are pretty quick. I mean, I think you can't really, you know, judge a 47 work, you know, off, you know, paper. You know, you have to know that it's playing a little bit quicker. So it'll make, you know, a lot of horses maybe look a little better on paper. But, you know, everything we've worked has come back well, and, you know, so far so good. So I'm happy with, you know, what Nyer has done with the new surface.
Yeah, very good.
Riley, we'll let you go. We'll let you get back to work, but wanted to plug in. Great start for the stable, for the operation with the Grade 1 Coaching Club American Oaks kicking off the season. And certainly wish you and your father and the whole team a lot of good luck going forward.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Riley Mott, assistant trainer to his father, Bill Mott. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up for this Sunday edition of Loose on the Lead. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Here in upstate New York, no one provides bettors with more wagering options than Capital OTB. Our network of ranch and easy bet locations stretches from the mid-Hudson Valley all the way to the Canadian border and west to central New York. So whether you need to place a bet, fund your Capital Bets account, or watch the next big race, all the action is just around the corner. A full list of our branch and easy bet locations can be found online at CapitalOTB.com. Capital OTB, the better and most convenient choice for wagering in upstate New York.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Loose on the Lead on this Sunday morning. Seth Merrow in the studio, and Steve Bick was on earlier by phone. I'm just trying to pull up my promos for today so we can promo you up here. Now I have them. And I wanted to bring it up because I think there's promos down at the Racebook this afternoon. Yeah, double promo at the Racebook. $100 winner bet and a match bet contest this afternoon down at the Racebook. 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Also, want to continue to remind you that I'd love to have you sign up and play along with us. Again, no fans at the track, so you're not playing from home. Or, hey, if you have the account and you app on your cell phone or your tablet, you can be out on the golf course playing for all that counts, or out by the pool or whatever. But go to CapitalOTB.com or CapitalOTBet.com. There's a sign-up or a join link. Fill out the appropriate information. And take advantage of the July bonus. Once you sign up, if you deposit $200, as soon as you bet double that amount before the end of the month, you get the original deposit refunded to you. So some free money available there for the new account holder. So keep that in mind as well. Saturday syndicates, I do want to continue to remind you of that. That's going to be a lot of fun. There is a promo running, and I'm just looking because signups are Sunday through Thursday. So the signups for this upcoming week's Saratoga Syndicate should be underway today and go through Thursday. But 20 people are selected. Those 20 people have to put $25 into the pot. So that adds up to $500. Then Capital OTV puts in another $250. And all the folks that are in the syndicate then send their picks in for the pick five, and a consensus is formed amongst the team, and a $750 pick five ticket is put together next Saturday. And if it wins, the team splits it up, and we all know the pick five can be very, very generous. So take a little shot at maybe getting on the team. Again, check out the website for more information on the Saturday Saratoga Syndicate. Should be a lot of fun throughout the meet. Also, we are on the road throughout the season. Do want to keep you informed about that. As the week goes along, we throughout the meet. We will alert you to where we are coming up, but we'll be at various places like Saratoga National, Bailey's, Diamond Club Grill, the Embassy Suites. It should be a lot of fun. Yesterday, we were across the street at the Horseshoe for an on-the-road event. Nice crowd over there. Picnic tables spaced out. And it's a nice way to kind of enjoy the races from Saratoga, even though you can't go to the track. You can still get some Saratoga atmosphere. And you see there, our next visit will be to Saratoga National, Prime at Saratoga National. I think you may want to call ahead. I think Saratoga National is actually taking reservations for their situation because they're open throughout the meet on race days with some watch parties out there, and I think they are taking reservations. So you may want to check in with Saratoga National in regards to next Saturday afternoon. But we will be there. Also, we'll have a bankroll there as well. So it should be a lot of fun. We are looking forward to our visits throughout the season to the various venues around Saratoga. And again, given that the first one was yesterday, I think they're all going to go very well because there was a nice crowd there yesterday watching the races at the Horseshoe, and we enjoyed our visit over there quite a bit. All right. I'm going to wrap things up. Seems early. I haven't gone 20 minutes over. So we'll wrap it up on this Sunday morning, Loose on the Lead. Week one of OTB TV is in the books. We still have racing this afternoon before week one at Saratoga is in the books. But week one of Capital OTB TV, and I thought things went swimmingly. We kind of figured out congratulations there, or thank you to Brian in the control room who we were working last week when we came in and earlier this week to kind of come up with the toolbox, which I think so we can socially distance with the guests. But last week, if you saw when we were our initial try at it, we were just doing the two shot on the regular camera, and we were kind of falling off the edges of the TV frame. So now we've gone to a toolbox, which has us sitting in a socially distanced fashion, and it looks good on the screen. And again, our man Brian Dorenzo kind of played around and came up with that the other day. So thanks for that. And as I say, I said in the beginning it would be a work in progress. It has been a work in progress, but I think week one has gone well, and we figured some things out. And hopefully also, because that's what the game plan is, we've made it informative and entertaining, and we will continue to do so throughout the remainder of the meet. And hopefully we give you some information that allows you to cash some tickets. But again, have some fun and learn some things, and bring the track to you, because that's what it's all about this season here on Capital OTB TV. So again, winding things up for this Sunday morning. Next in here, as far as the OTB staff and whatnot, we'll be back on 9 o'clock Wednesday morning with handicapper support. So I'm going to wrap it up for Sunday. Of course, lots of great racing action Sunday afternoon and into the evening here on Capital OTB TV. But as far as here on the set, we'll see you Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. for the handicapper support.
From the backstretch at Saratoga, this is Loose on the Lead with Steve Bick and Seth Merrill. Loose on the Lead is sponsored by